Good morning, everybody, or evening, depending on where you are. Hi, my name is Stacy. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I just want to take a moment and breathe. I've never spoken in front of such a big crowd before. Wow. All right, so this is the set-aside prayer. God, today, help me set aside everything I think I know about you. Everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with all of these things. Please help me see the truth. Amen. I do have a couple of pictures that I'm going to share. This is me at my highest weight of about 368 pounds or 86 pounds, something like that, on my, as you can see, my 40th birthday. And then this one is probably my lowest weight. The same kid, they shaved their head for bald, locks of love, donated their long hair for cancer research. Anyway, this is right after my weight loss surgery, about 208 or so. So I've been everywhere. I'm somewhere in the middle of those right now. I have been a compulsive eater probably since 15 minutes after coming out of the womb, I think. Definitely since high school, for sure. I know I remember I was the worst babysitter in the world. I would come to your house and I took good care of your kids, but I also, as soon as those kids went to sleep, I was rummaging your cupboards. I had people telling me that I couldn't cook at their house anymore because I would eat up all their stuff. I grew up in a teeny weeny little town. There's more people than more cows than people per capita in Tribes Hill, New York. And I was very isolated. There's more, like I said, there's more cows than people per capita, and I was the only one of my peer group who couldn't drive. I'm visually impaired, and unfortunately, New York State doesn't give blind people driver's licenses. So I couldn't go to visit my friends. I couldn't, there, and where I was, I couldn't even call my friends because it was long distance. And God forbid you made a long distance phone call in the 70s, late 70s and 80s. So I saw my friends at school, but the minute we left school, I was by myself. And my family was loving but there was a lot of addiction. My family father is an alcoholic or was an alcoholic. My mom was the child of an alcoholic and super depressed and a super heavy smoker. And there was just stuff, we were. We weren't very, we didn't have a lot of money. I grew up loving government handout foods that came in big blocks and big things. Anyway, and so by the time I was in high school, I was heavier now, or heavier then than I am now, actually. I remember having to, prom came around and I couldn't find a dress because there was nothing in my size. I had to special order. Size 22s and 24s, whatever. I was just uncomfortable and I was alone and I was picked on. It was a tiny school, kindergarten through 12th grade, all in the same building. There was about 90 kids per grade level. And I grew up with a lot of the kids, so by the time I was in fifth grade or so, they stopped picking on me, but mostly because I beat them up because I was bigger than them. I was definitely a bully. I was kicked off the bus in sixth grade for picking a kid up by their neck and moving them when they wouldn't give me a seat. I was a Girl Scout. I was really active in Girl Scouts, but again, I was the only one in my peer group who, at my age level, just because of circumstances and remoteness and whatever, I went on a big trip in eighth grade and had to have Girl Scout uniforms custom made. I just always stood out. I came to college. I came to Buffalo to go to college, and all of a sudden there was a convenience store. just down the street. And I had money because I'm blind and I got Social Security. And so I could do what I needed to do or what I wanted to do. And boy, did I eat. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a thing at the time, and there was a treat with their name on it, and boy, I loved it. And so that really started my in great increase. The 4 years of college, I managed to have a room by myself, even because I had financial assistance and I didn't have to share, and therefore I was still alone. And I hid and I ate and I ate and I hid and I had a well-stocked pantry. And if you came to my room, I'd offer you anything. I was always the person that people came to get stuff. I always wanted to make people happy. I always wanted to have everybody over, because I always wanted to have people around because I was alone. I did every pay and way in the world. I remember saving up my allowance when I was in like fifth grade to buy Dexatrim and Slim Fast at Kmart. And it didn't nothing ever worked. I got married and I was 26. I got married and I worked in a call center at the time. I taught people how to fix their computers over the phone. You sit on the phone all day and you eat, and you sit on the phone. You got to stay awake between calls. I was diagnosed with sleep apnea at that time because I was falling asleep. Actually, talking to people, I was falling asleep on the phone. That was one of the best things that ever happened. It was my CPAP machine. And my husband is a foodie. He's a normal eater, which is really annoying to me. But we would. We eat, we go out to eat, we eat, we cook, we eat, that's just what we do. And so I kept gaining and gaining and gaining. And I had done research for bariatric surgery, and decided no, I didn't want to do it, and waffled for about 2 years. And then in the just before Christmas in 2015, I had the gastric sleeve done. And around April of 2016, I walked into my first OA meeting. It occurred to me finally that the problem with my weight, with the size of my butt, didn't have anything really to do with the food that goes into my mouth. It was really all about what was going on in my head. I had known about OA, but the meeting, the web, there was a meeting that was walking distance from my house. And it was listed on the website as closed. And I thought that meant nobody knew was allowed to go. So I didn't go for like 2 years. And so I figured it out. I went to my first OA meeting in April of 2016. And I found a tribe. I found people who were willing to talk and who did the same things that I did with food, who, didn't run away screaming when I told them that I ate whole bags of things, or that I, hid in my bed, hid things in my room and to eat in secret, or waited until my husband went to bed to DoorDash food. And boy, the pandemic kind of screwed me on that because everything came to my house. I live in the city of Buffalo, so it's a big-ish city, and anything, I can have anything delivered pretty much any time of the day or night. And so, yeah, boy, I spent a lot of money on delivery over the last several years, really. And when I learned that you could have beer delivered too, boy, that was the best thing in the whole wide world. I floundered for, well, up until this past January. I stayed in OA. I got lots of service commitments. Pretty quickly after my first meeting, because the intergroups around here were pretty small. And so I kind of floundered. I took on the job of their website poster person, website whatever, because I knew how to do it. I took on jobs because I knew how to do things, and I learned that if I thought at least if I didn't do it, it wasn't going to get done. Because I was the only one capable of doing these particular jobs because, I'm indispensable. And so I stayed busy. I stayed in the rooms. I think that's the only thing that kept me sane, at least a little sane, completely from completely going off the rails, is that I stayed busy. I was at a meeting this past January with a bunch of my local friends, and we all go to lunch afterwards on Sundays, Saturday mornings. We have a big face-to-face meeting on Saturday mornings. That's hybrid. If anybody's up at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, you're welcome to come to Buffalo for a meeting. It's on Zoom. And one of the and I was they were all talking about we I go to this meeting and that meeting, and I'm doing this workshop, and I'm doing that thing, and I'm doing this other thing, and I'm like, holy crap, I work 60 hours a week. I can't do this recovery thing. There's too much. I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. This has got to be a program for retired people. That's the only thing that's possible is for me to wait until I retire. And by then, there's no point. I got 20 years before I'm going to retire. I guess my desk chair, I bought my desk chair and it supports up to 450 pounds. I guess there's no point in me trying to get smaller than 450 pounds. As long as I don't exceed that, I can do my job. And I'll worry about recovery in 20 years. Well, if I tried to do that, I think I would probably be dead by that time. And a very smart person told me, just do one thing. You can't do everything, but start doing one thing. And she told me about this meeting. And I'm so glad she did because this meeting fits in my stupid work schedule. I come here every morning and then I go to work. I sit in this chair right here for between 12 and 14 hours every day. I'm absolutely blessed to be able to do my job. I work for two different hospitals. One of them is in Nebraska and the other one is in Wisconsin. I can do my work from my house, which solves the problem of being a blind person and not being able to drive. But it also means I sit in this chair for 14 hours a day and I don't move. So I have to force, that's one of my challenges, actually. I have to force myself to exercise. But I see that my time is running out, so I need to talk about how much my life has improved in the last 128 days since I have, and I feel like I'm only new, but for the last 128 days I've been abstinent, and it's only because I've been coming to this meeting every day or most days, and somebody, one of you said in one of these big old shares, get a sponsor. It's the only way to work the program. And I finally listened and I finally got a sponsor. I learned you just can't do it by yourself, no matter how many books you own. It's like owning all the exercise equipment. If you had all the, it just doesn't work. Had to get a sponsor. I got a sponsor and we worked the steps. And we got through. I'm not through yet. I'm still working 8 and 9. But getting past 4 and 5 were huge for me. Getting all that stuff down and realizing, and just it was so big. And I learned that when I put the food down, there's more time in my world to be able to do other things. I've kind of dove headfirst into a lot of service, and sometimes that's a little much. I'm learning that I really have to make special effort. I think my husband was feeling kind of neglected lately because I've been doing a lot of service, so I've been trying to say, one day a month or one day a week at least is not OA stuff, or at least not primarily, to give him some time in the world. I've also learned though that this is a practice. This, like, if I wanted to learn, I crochet, I make things. I always have a little program project here on my desk. I made a little penguin for one of our girls. I always have a little pro, but it's a process. You have to learn to do it. You can't just pick up a hook and boom, out comes a blanket. You can't
Hard
just
bit
walk into a
reminder.
room. Thank you. You can't just walk into a room and boom, there comes recovery. You have to practice it. So I have stuff that I have to do every day. I got a food plan. I went to people very much smarter than me and I got a food plan and it works for me. I do no flour, no sugar, 3 meals weighed and measured every day that I commit before I start in the morning. I do the daily deal. I get up in the morning and my alarm goes off and then my cat goes off and he sits here and we have prayer time every morning. Before I even get out of bed, I have snuggle time with my one of my 6 cats now. I just got a new kitten. He's so adorable. And we have snuggle time and we pray. And then I get up and I read my daily readers. And then I get up and I come here. I feed the cats and I come here and I see all you lovely people every morning. And then I go and do the work. Part of my work allows me, because I sit here all by myself, I can take your phone calls. You see my phone number up there. Give me a call sometime. I'm bored. I can chat while I'm working. And I still do service. I'm still very active in my inner group. I've gotten service for some of these meetings. I've gotten service, I'm learning more with Footsteps Inner Group as well. I love the fact that any time of the day or night, if you feel crappy at 2 in the morning, you can zoom into a meeting because I think that's really one of the only good things that came out of COVID. Is so many meetings went online. And we don't have to stay home alone and isolate anymore. We can zoom in and talk to people. We can go on a phone meeting and talk to people. We don't have to be isolated. The other thing that I learned is that going to bed early, because I get up and come here really early every morning, I always will have to go to bed early. So out is the opportunity to stay up after my husband goes to bed and binge and order DoorDash. And I can't do it because I gotta be here. And if I don't go to bed at 8 o'clock, there's no way I'm gonna be here. Somebody in a meeting told me, nothing good happens after 9 p.m. anyway. And I agree. Nothing, I can get any TV that I want, the next day. So I think that's really all. I do a lot of planning. I do a lot of prepping because I work 60 hours a week. I spend a good 3 hours on Sunday, working on my food plan. When I go to bed on Sunday night, I in theory really could commit my whole week's worth of food to my sponsor, because my breakfasts are ready on Sunday afternoon. My lunches for the week are ready on Sunday afternoon. And if there's anything that's going to require major effort for dinners for the week, it's ready on Sunday afternoon. So all I have to do is minimal work after work. And that's really the only thing that keeps me sane. I can't think about food. If I have to think about my food, we're going out and I'm going to eat crap. I think that's it. I really think that covers everything. You just have to remember. I just have to remember to do it. I have to remember to do it every day. Maintain my connection with my higher power. I didn't really talk about my higher power, but he's there. I talk about him. I talk to him in the morning. I try to remember to talk to him throughout the day. That's one of the things, my goals is to get a better spiritual connection as I do. I still feel like I'm in infancy, and I still feel like I'm focusing a lot about the new stuff, trying to create good habits. So I'm working on it. And I think with that, I'm going to pass. And thank you all. Thank you, Judy, for asking me to share. And thank you all for being here. And it will happen if you just keep working on it, and you're worth it. Thank you.